He had provided water in the wilderness. He had, you know, given them manna from heaven. He had led them in the night and in the day with the very presence of God. And God had been faithful to them again and again and again and again. But the problem was, church, that Israel had a terrible tendency to forget. And doesn't that remind us of anyone we know? Israel would see God's work and they would experience his provision. They would receive his blessings and then turn around and forget the God who had done it all. And you see that theme throughout the Psalms. In Psalm 78, verses 10 and 11, he says that we're going to read then those verses in a moment, but in Psalm 78, 10 and 11, he says, "They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forget." Oh, I forgot to turn this on. Have I? That's not in your Bible, by the way, all right? That was just me. I'm reading here and people are waving at me, and all right. Verse number 11, "And forget," look at that, "and forget his works and his wonders that he had showed them." And he's saying there, listen, we can't allow that to happen again. And so he begins talking about the responsibility of one generation to teach the next generation what God had done. And look at verse number 4. He says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." In other words, he's saying that we're going to tell our children. We're going to make sure that they know what God has done. We're going to make sure that they know who God is. We're going to make sure that they know that they're aware of and they intimately have the knowledge of the God of their fathers. And notice in verse number 7, he says that they, the children, might set their what, church? Their hope. Their living hope. That they might set their hope in God and not what? And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's the burden of this psalm, my dear church. And Maskil here, he understood that if one generation fails to teach the next generation about God, eventually that knowledge can and probably will be lost. And that brings us directly to Father's Day today, folks. Because, Dad, listen up for just a moment. Your children are the next generation. And one of the greatest responsibilities God has given us is to make sure that the next generation knows the God that we claim to follow. So this morning I want to look at what kind of a father leaves behind a legacy that is worth remembering. And so we turn to our text, Psalm 78. We're going to read verses 1 to 7 and then we're going to pray. Let's go ahead and stand this morning in honor of God's words, church. Psalm 78, verse 1 to 7. Maskil of Asaph. "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established the testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." And all of God's people said, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for the word of God. Lord, thank you given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Thank you, Lord, that even on a day like today where we honor dads, that you have given us the instruction manual to the ministry, Lord, to a ministry that is fulfilling, a ministry that honors you, and a ministry that ultimately, Lord, you seek to glorify yourself in. So we pray, Lord, that this morning, whether our children are here, or whether we have ministry with children, or whatever the case is, Father, we pray that you'd give, especially the men this morning, the ears to hear what the Spirit saith, Lord. Help us to be men who rise up and honor you in our families, and Lord, and ultimately leave something behind of a legacy that God can glorify himself in. So Father, we ask that you would have your will and your way with this message. Help us, Lord, to listen, and we're committed to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated, church. 2 weeks ago, we were in Ephesians 6, 4. And the verse that we read there says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And we talked about the different responsibilities of a father. The fact that God has given fathers the responsibility to raise their children for God. And we talked about parenting on purpose. We talked about training them, and we talked about disciplining them. We spoke at length a little bit about admonishing them. We talked about the fact that mom can help. We spoke about the church can help, and the school can help. But we also made sure that we understood that the buck stops with who? With dad. And we finished with a challenge. Dad, until the day when your children are grown and must make their own decisions, I want to exhort you, give everything you've got to see them brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, folks, today is Father's Day. And I would like to, Lord willing and with his enabling, take that thought just a couple of steps further this morning. Because there's a question that every father should ask themselves this morning. And the question is this: when my children are grown, when they're adults, what is it that they're going to remember about dad? What is it that they're going to remember about me? Not what will they remember that I bought them. Not what will they remember that, you know, I provided for them. Not even necessarily what will they remember that I told them. But what will they remember about dad? Having lost my father nearly 20 years ago, I often go to that train of thought. What do I remember about Pippi, my dad? And coming up to this Father's Day, I've been asking myself that. I mean, I have two adult children now. What are they going to remember about their dad? What kind of a man was he? What are they going to remember, folks? What kind of a man was he? What mattered to him? What did he love? I mean, what did he stand for? What did he do when life got difficult? What did he do when the stress of life came? What are they going to remember about the way that he treated mum, even in those difficult times? How did he respond when he was wrong? Because dad, we're wrong often. How did he deal with that? How did he deal when the family was wrong? And maybe most importantly, what did dad teach me about God? And Psalm 78 here, church, gives us a tremendous principle. God says that one generation is to tell the next generation about the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works. Why? Verse 7 tells us, look at it, that they might set their what? Their hope in God. Dad, look at me for just 1 second. What do you want your children to set their hope in? financial security? Do you want your children to set their hope in their career? In their health? To set their home within the bounds of what their family is? Dad, listen, you're not just raising children. You are influencing a generation that you may never get to meet. Your children may one day have children. And your grandchildren may hear stories about you that you never ever get to tell them. What will they remember? Your grandchildren. Who's a grandpa? George? Yeah? Georgie is a grandson of Michael. Any other grandpas? No, not yet. What's George going to say about Michael? My grandfather taught my dad that. What? My grandfather used to pray. Maybe my grandfather loved the Lord. My grandfather was a man that was faithful to church. And dads, listen, that's why Father's Day should be more than ties. I love ties. I got a pocket square today as well. I got a lapel pin. But Father's Day is more about the ties. It's more than the socks. It's more than the breakfast. It's more than the card. And we love all that stuff. I love being pampered this morning. But the bigger question, folks, is, you know, we've got to understand that what is Father's Day is about a legacy. Because one day, you are only going to exist in your children's memories, folks. And the question is, the title of the message, what will the children remember? Let me give you four things this morning that will help you. Dads, listen, point number one. Give the kids something worth remembering. Give the children something worth remembering. Psalm 78 verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. But I want you to notice the emphasis there in verse number 4, we will not hide them from their children. The fathers of one generation were responsible for making sure the next generation knew what God had done. And Dad, listen, your children are going to remember what was important to you without you ever uttering a word. They will remember, Dads, what you actually made time for. They're going to remember what you sacrificed for. They will remember what you talked about. They're going to remember what you celebrated. They will remember what you couldn't live without. And that's why, Dad, we need to be really, really careful what we make important in our lives. Not just by telling them, but by living out those right priorities. What did Dad make important? Some children will remember, folks, you know what? Dad was always working. Some kids might remember, you know, Dad was just, he was just an angry man. One of the things I remember about my dad was he was saved just a few months before he died, but he was always a man of patience. I mean, he had a patience level that me, I don't have even being saved after 25 years. Because I had a hard mum. And I remember that, and I remember his patience, and she would just, and she was South American, man, and she would just nag him. I mean, nag him and nag him and nag him. And I remember as a teenage boy just nagging my dad about dumb stuff. Right? If you have a wog mum, you know what it is. I mean, like, you know, you brought some grass from the outside into the carpet, which you just vacuumed. And she would go on for half an hour about that. All right? he used one of her knives to undo a screw in something that he couldn't be bothered going to the garage and getting a screwdriver about. So he just used a knife, and she would go off. And when my mum got going, bro, it went, right? And Dad just sat there and listened. And I think that even made her more angry because he just smiled. I never saw my dad angry. I remember that. Some may say, you know, Dad was always watching television and playing video games. Dad was always on his phone. Dad just was a man who I mean, his index finger was bigger than the rest because he's just scrolled all day. Dad was always on his phone. Now, Dad was always just chasing financial security. Now, Dad was a man who always really worried a lot about what other people thought. That consumed him. Some kids may actually say that. But listen, guys, what a testimony if your children can say, you know what? Dad loved God. Dad loved his Bible. Dad loved his church. Dad loved Mum. And even though, you know, I remember my childhood, I know how much my dad loved my mum. Dad loved serving others. Dad was a man of prayer. Oh, Dad wasn't perfect, but you know what? Dad was faithful. Imagine having that testimony. That's worth remembering, folks. Look at what God said about Abraham. Now, I've spoken much about this verse, but I want to put you to remembrance this morning. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18, but hold your finger where we are in our text. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 19, God says of Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord." You see, folks, God knew something about Abraham here. God said, "I know him. I know him intimately. I know what kind of a father he is. I know what he will do with the influence that I have given him." It says there in the Bible, he will command his children and his household after him. Abraham wasn't simply going to tell his children about God. He was going to lead them in the way of God. And did you notice something in that verse? Those two little words, after him. His children were going to see something worth following after Dad was no longer around, folks. And Dad, that's a question this morning. Is there something in your life worth your children following now? And when we are no longer here? I mean, Dad, listen, what's it worth? What's it worth that if you spend your life sacrificing and you spend your life providing and you spend your life breaking your back for the kids and for your family, and after you're gone, they no longer walk with God? What's it worth? Nothing. Nothing. A father leaves more than possessions. A father leaves more than an inheritance. We spend so much time thinking about what we're going to leave our children. Maybe a house and maybe some money and maybe possessions and maybe, you know, an inheritance. And listen, folks, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Nothing. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith." So there's nothing in planning a provision for your kids, for your family. A father should provide. But dad, listen, don't spend your whole life preparing an inheritance for your children and fail to prepare your children for a life with God. The greatest inheritance that you can leave isn't sitting in the bank account, folks. It's sitting in their hearts. One, give them something worth remembering. Point number two. Give them something worth following. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11:1, and he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Listen, Dad, do you want your kids to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where Father's Day becomes oh so personal, folks. Because children don't just listen to what Dad has to say. I mean, Izzy's here and Iwanta's at the back there. You know, when Dad speaks to you, Isabel, do you do that and just listen? You watch, right? We've got to understand that, folks. Kids don't just listen. They watch. They watch their dads. They watch how dad handles pressure. They watch how dad handles money. They watch how dad talks about people. They watch how dad treats his wife. They watch how dad reacts when he doesn't get his own way. They watch how dad responds when he makes a mistake and when he falls and when he fails. They watch you. And here's the uncomfortable truth, folks. Your children might not remember everything that you taught them, but they will remember what you showed them. Because you know as well as I do that I can tell my kids to pray. But what good is it if they don't see dad praying? I can tell the kids, listen, you need to read your Bible. But if they never see us opening our Bibles, you can tell them, you know, you need to be faithful to church. But if church is always the first thing that dad is willing to sacrifice and the only thing that really isn't prioritized is everything else, listen, don't expect faithful children. You're teaching them something far more powerful than your words. Your life is teaching them. Think about Noah for just one moment. Now, granted, let me say this to you. Noah wasn't the poster child for biblical fatherhood, amen? But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says, God records this of Noah. He says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah what? Walked with God. God said that. Moses penned that. And then God told Noah, listen, you need to go build an ark. And what did Noah do? He obeyed. And his family saw it. And in Hebrews 11:7, we have the testimony. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. His house. Dad, open your eyes for just a moment and see it. To the saving of his house. Even though Noah had many faults and Noah made some mistakes, Noah's walk with God had an impact on his family, church. His children watched their father build something that nobody understood what he was doing. And they watched Dad keep going and pressing on when everyone else thought that he was crazy. They watched Dad believe in his God. And then when the rain came, they were in the ark with Dad. I mean, folks, what a principle. When the rains of life come, listen, I want my children in the hands and in the care of the living God. What did Noah give his sons? A testimony worth following, folks. But Dad, I understand that we're not perfect either. We all have our faults. Warts and all, like I call them. But here's where we need to be honest, folks. Listen, guys, let me tell you this morning. Your children don't need a perfect earthly father. There's no such thing, folks. You will make mistakes. You will lose your temper. You'll put your foot in your mouth. You'll say the wrong thing. You'll make wrong decisions. You're going to fail at things sometimes, more than once. But Dad, listen, here's one of the greatest things you can ever teach your children. Listen, you know what? Dad was wrong. And then, listen, Dad is sorry. And then, you know what? Dad needs forgiveness too. I mean, what a lesson, folks. Because you're teaching them that Christianity isn't about pretending that you're perfect. It's knowing where to go when you know that you're not perfect. Because they may not have a perfect earthly father, oh, but they have a perfect heavenly one, amen? So one, give them something worth remembering. Two, give them something worth following. Three, this is really important, folks, give them something worth coming back to. Now let's move from following to returning, because here's something every father needs to understand. You cannot guarantee the choices your children will make. You can't guarantee the direction of the path that they're going to take. And we have covered that and we've understood that principle. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Samuel was a godly man, yet 1 Samuel chapter 8 verse 3 tells us, and his sons walked not in his ways. Samuel couldn't choose for his boys. And Dad, listen, eventually your children will make their own choices. They may make choices that you don't agree with. They may make mistakes. They may wander. They may disappoint you. They may break your heart. And that's where another biblical father gives us something extraordinary, folks. Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son. A story you know well. The prodigal son wanted his inheritance. And he wanted to leave. He wanted to go off and he wanted to live his own life. And then he got what he wanted. And eventually, you know, the scripture says, eventually he ended up in the pig pen. He ended up back in the stuff of the world. He ended up in the refuse, back in all that stuff that Dad had protected him from. But he eventually remembered home, and he eventually remembered his family, and he comes to a decision, church. He says, I will arise and go to my father. I will get up and I'm going to go back to Dad. The question is here, church, why did he know where to go, and why did he have such peace about making that decision? I mean, if you read the account 1,000 times, right? The Bible doesn't tell us that the prodigal son made any sort of struggle with that choice. It doesn't tell us that he had to sit there and pout and wonder and break his brain. What was Dad going to do, and what was the situation going to end up? No, he found himself in the state that wasn't God's will for him, and he just made the decision, I'm going to go and I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to my father. Without any struggle whatsoever. You know why he made? Because that was natural for him. Because even though he had left home, home hadn't left him. They may get older and they may leave the house, but make sure that the house never leaves them. You guys know my son moved out. He's living down the road here. He came over the other day and he comes in and he goes, oh, Dad, I'm a bit thirsty. Do you mind if I just open the fridge and grab a drink? And I looked at him, are you serious? He goes, well, you know, I have to ask. I'm not living here anymore. I said, mate, this is your house. This is your home. Don't ever let me hear you ask permission to grab a drink or some chips or whatever it is. This is your home. I said, you ask me permission to go to the toilet, I'll slap you silly. They may leave home. Oh, but Dad, make sure home never leaves them. Home hadn't left him. There was still a father there. There was still a family there for the prodigal. And I believe, church, there is something powerful here for dads on Father's Day. You cannot control every decision your children will make, but make your home a place worth coming back to. Let your children know and listen and appreciate that, listen, Dad will tell me the truth. Dad will correct me when I'm wrong. Dad will pray for me. Dad won't approve of my sin, but also let them know and appreciate that Dad will love me, Dad will forgive me, and Dad will be there. That doesn't mean that Dad becomes soft on sin. You know, the father in Luke chapter 15 didn't run after the son and say, oh, son, whatever you want is fine. That's okay. It wasn't the modern day philosophy, folks. Oh, you, whatever you want is fine. I just want you to be happy. Because, you know, like happiness is the most important thing. No, he let him go. But when the son came home, the father was there, folks. Fathers, let me say this to you with all the love I can muster. Don't burn the bridge that leads to the way home. Some dads are so harsh that when their children fail, the kids think, you know what, I can't go home. I can't go back. Tragedy to think that is what some of the children might think. Just imagine with me, church, for a moment. Imagine if every time we sin, we had that thought about our Heavenly Father. I stuffed up. I made a mistake. God won't accept me anymore. Heaven forbid. Dad, don't ever make your children think that they have to choose between being honest with you and being loved by you. Folks, you can stand for truth. You can have your standards. You can say no. You can discipline and you can disapprove. But what you can't do is let them feel like they have no place to come home to. Let them always know where home is, and let them know if you ever fall, if you ever make a mistake, Dad will still be praying for you and expecting you with open arms anytime you want to come back. Just like God has told me about my relationship with Him. I may stuff up and I may make mistakes and I may sin against God, but I know that God is always. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is worth a lot, folks. How dare we burn our bridges with our families? So give them something worth remembering. Give them something worth following. Give them something worth coming back to. And the last one here I want to give you this morning is, by all that is holy, men, dads, give them something worth passing on. So now we come back to Psalm 78, verse number 6. It says there that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Folks, do you see the progression there in verse number 6? Fathers to the children, children to their children, to the father's grandchildren. One generation telling the next. And the next telling the next, and the next telling the next. Folks, that is called a legacy. Dad, you may be influencing people who haven't even been born yet. And we have established, folks, that Abraham was a man who influenced his family. But it wasn't just with Isaac, church. What about Abraham's influence over his grandson, over Jacob? Genesis 26, verse 3 and 5, God speaks to Isaac and tells him, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And then he says in verse number 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my law. I mean, think about that for just a moment. Abraham was already dead and buried, folks. But his obedience was still affecting his family. Abraham, I don't know, probably maybe never got to sit down with his grandson Jacob in any real meaningful way and tell him all the stories of his walk with God. But Jacob inherited something from Abraham that was far more valuable than possessions. He inherited a testimony, church. Abraham's faith affected his son Isaac, and Isaac's faith now affected Jacob, Abraham's grandson. And we know that Jacob became the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. One man's obedience to God reached far beyond his own lifetime, folks. That's what we want. That's what we want. That's what gives me hope. That's what we want. We want a legacy. Dads, listen, you don't know how far your influence will travel. You may think that, you know, you're just teaching a little kid how to pray. You may think that you're just bringing your daughter to church week in and week out. You may think you're just reading the Bible around the dinner table, and you may think, look, this is a good thing to do, but we're not really seeing a lot of fruit. We're not accomplishing much. You may think that you're just making sure your children know the Lord, but you don't know who is coming after them. Your son may teach his son. Your daughter may teach her daughter. Your grandchildren may one day tell their children, hey, listen, this is what we learned about Grandpa. Someone said, your faithfulness today may become someone else's foundation tomorrow. That's legacy, folks. Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Dad, listen, don't underestimate the reach a faithful life can have. You may only see your children sitting beside you today. God sees the generation that could come from them, folks. So give your children something worth remembering and something worth passing on. Imagine, Dad, that one day you're gone and your children are all grown up and your grandchildren are sitting around the table and someone says, tell us about Grandpa. What would you like them to say, folks? Oh, he had a nice car. Oh, Grandpa built a nice house. Let me tell you about Grandpa's career, what he did. Let me tell you about what he provided for his family. And maybe. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I would rather hear, you know what, let me tell you about your grandpa. He loved the Lord. You know, Grandpa prayed for us every single day. Grandpa always had time to talk about the Bible and talk about the Lord. You know, Grandpa loved your grandma just the way God told us to do it. Grandpa was one of the most faithful men I've ever seen. You know, Grandpa taught us, son, that God can be trusted. Dad, that's a legacy. This is what we should be celebrating today. The fact that God has given us the opportunity to pass on the glory of God to the next generation and the one after that. And if the Lord tarries, the one after that and the one after that. Let me finish here. I'm done. Let's go back to where we started. What will they remember, folks? Psalm 78, verse 4. We will not hide them from their children. Dad, your children are watching you. They're learning from you, they're remembering, and one day they will tell somebody about their dad, about their father. So let me ask you this Father's Day, what are they going to remember? Are they going to remember your temper or your patience? You know, every now and then I lose the plot. And I've heard the tones in the home, be careful, you're just a cranky old man. That's not what I want them to remember, folks. What are they going to remember? Will they remember your absence? Or are they going to remember that you were just a present dad? You were just there all the time. You were there for them when they needed you. Will they remember that dad was always busy or that dad always had time for me? Will they remember that dad demanded perfection or that dad knew how to say, you know what, I'm sorry? Will they remember that dad talked about God or that dad walked with God? Because here's the truth, folks. You are writing a story your children will remember long after you finish writing it. And dad, look up here for a sec. You don't get to write it again. You have one shot at it. You get today. And you get tomorrow. And you get this season. And you get these years. So my admonition to you is, dads, use them well. Dad, give your children something worth remembering. Give them a father who loves God. Give them something worth following. Give them a life that points them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Give them something worth coming back to. Give them a home filled with truth and with love and with forgiveness and with grace, and give them something worth passing on to their children. Give them a faith that can travel from one generation to the next, folks. And then one day when your children are all grown up, you won't be able to make the decisions for them anymore, and you won't be able to protect them from every mistake anymore, and you won't be able to tell them what to do anymore, but you can give them something today that will stay with them for the rest of their life. Can give them the memory of a father who walked with God. And maybe even years from now, if the Lord tarries and you're no longer here, someone will ask your children, what kind of a man was your dad? And they'll be able to say, you know, he wasn't perfect, but he loved the Lord. He loved his family. He was faithful. And he showed me the way of the Lord, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. That's the legacy worth leaving, my dear men. That's the Father worth remembering. What will the children remember? Let's stand. We're going to pray, and then I'll get Andrew to come and dismiss us in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the privilege and the responsibility of fatherhood this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the fathers, the grandfathers, and even future fathers represented here in this room this morning. Lord, we know none of us have been perfect dads. And we have made mistakes, and we have failed, and we have said things we wish we hadn't, and we have missed opportunities we wish we could have just take back. But Lord, help us to make the years we have ahead count for eternity. Help us to be fathers worth remembering. Help us to love you sincerely, walk with you faithfully, and to lead our families consistently, Lord. Help our children to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Help us to give them something worth following, something worth coming back to, and something worth passing on to their own children. And Lord, where our children have wandered, help us never to stop praying. Give us the wisdom to stand for truth while keeping the door of love open always. Father, I pray that even years from now, our children will not simply remember what we gave them, but who we were before you. And may they, Lord, be able to say, my dad loved God. My dad was a faithful man. My dad showed me the way to the Lord. And Lord, I pray, Father, if there is a father here today who knows he has not been the father that he ought to be, Lord, that you'd help him.
That you'd help him, Lord, not to live in regret, but help him to begin today. The mercies of the Lord are renewed every day. Lord, let today be that turning point. Let every father determine in his heart, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, we pray that you make us men whose lives leave a testimony behind. And Father, and may that testimony continue through our children, our grandchildren, and generations we may not even live to see. Help us, Lord, to leave a legacy behind. Help us to leave a memory in our children and in our grandchildren that will be glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God. That is our heart's desire this morning, we pray. We thank you, Lord, we love you, and we commit it to you in Jesus' most precious name, we pray. And all of God's people said,